It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Welcome on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, thanks for making us part of your day, kicking off your Wednesday. Hey, buddy.
Oh, man, it's good to see you, Scotty. How are you?
I'm all right.
That sounded a little bit less enthusiastic than I'd expected it to sound on a hump day Wednesday.
No, I'm excited. There's a lot of good things going on. I just can't talk to Johnny about certain things because it puts me in a bad mood. We're not talking about it. I'm just saying, like, Johnny may have set me off a little bit. Not his fault. Just stuff. It was nice knowing you. I'll just say that.
You're just fine. You're going to be fine. Get you through this.
I don't know.
We're all going to get you through this. By the way, I mean, Governor Cox came out and he was like, hey, everybody on their honor. Like, if you know, if you've got any pre-existing issues, I believe it's March 1st, right? March 1st, you can get the
vaccine.
Don't worry. Our diabetes levels in the state of Utah are about to skyrocket. Like, we're going to be like 99% diabetic in, like, this state.
I'm losing a foot. I need that vaccine.
Man, asking the general population, hey, could you just be on your honor?
Did he really say that, by the
he
way?
Did.
You don't
he
need
did.
Like a doctor's note or anything?
No, it's on your honor.
Oh, man, it is go time.
It's on your honor.
I have got all this. No, don't do that.
He tweeted it. I was like, all right, man, that's the way we're going to roll.
Type 2, here we come.
Oh, I might not have had it, but my dad had it.
But his sister did.
All right, Lawrence. I've got type 6 diabetes. What exactly is
oh,
that?
Oh, you don't want to know. Just poke my arm. That's all I care about.
Just be glad you don't have it and get that vaccine in my arm.
Hey, how about that, though? The governor saying yesterday that he thinks that if we continue on this same path, that we'll have large gatherings and be able to celebrate like crazy on July 4th.
I thought that was incredible. Gave me a lot of hope.
Well, and that's the thing, like, in all of this, you know, you and I, back on March 11th, when all of a sudden the world just comes to a screeching halt, but yet we still have to do 4 hours of radio every day. And I remember sitting in Lloyd's office and we're talking about, like, how are we going to handle this? And all of us were like, you know what? Let's be positive. Let's be positive. And I know, and I'm not even knocking the people that say, hey, you know, you got a lot of variants out there. We don't know what they're going to do. There's mutations. This could get away from us again really quick. And I think they're all very right and very sound in saying that. But I'm not going to knock somebody who says, hey, look, we're on a great path. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep wearing the masks and socially distancing. Get vaccinated when you can. And if we all do our part, then we can have a great big celebration in July.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to, like, hope isn't a bad thing.
Have some level of optimism. Yeah, I'm okay with that. And then have the sickness go all gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board with it. I've always been optimistic through this, and I know that there's been a lot of traumatic events that have occurred through it, but I've been optimistic that eventually we'll get through it. And the governor, he's a pretty optimistic person. You know, he is full of optimism. And I did like that announcement, but it did crack me up. And he's like, all right, everybody just be as honest as you can. It's like, all right. Next thing you know, everybody's got themselves a 23-inch slop buster fish that they can take home and fillet. When you know it was It was 18 inches. It was not a slop buster. I do hope that everybody can be honest, because there are people like Johnny who should be in the front of the line and who need the vaccine much more than people like me.
Are you like humble bragging?
No, not humble bragging. I do have...
I'm 260 pounds of solid muscle.
I do have a sensitivity to poison ivy.
Oh, I think that's probably on the list.
Get a shot.
Sir, why are you here? You look to be in tremendous shape. You look to be healthy. Well, I have this issue with poison ivy, and it can just wreck my immune system. So
it jacks me up really bad.
Here's my arm.
I'm trying to think of the other things. Like, what else could I come up with? I had a terrible attention deficit when I was younger.
Well, I think you start with the herp is where you start.
I thought we were done with that. I thought you and I were past that. I don't have a foot fungus, Johnny. Thank you. Gosh, you guys. Who needs enemies?
Well, no, I know that's a problem that, you know, kind of still lingers. You never really get rid of it, right?
It's on my arm, and it's from wrestling, just so everybody knows. Cannot believe 15 years I've been explaining this. But, yeah, okay, so I'll take that to the clinic.
Yeah. I mean, we all have stories we can tell.
What would yours be?
Oh, I got plenty. I'm not worried about that. I show up and they're like, let's get you taken care of.
You have your name halfway. Scott, they're like, hey, we got a table for you.
Yeah, we're good.
Syringe and table's ready.
Let's go, buddy. We got your back. All right, busy show. Look, congratulations to Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, the two of the Jazz players on the All-Star team. And hopefully there will be another Western Conference player added because AD of the Lakers won't be able to go. And so there'll need to be another player added. And so you hope that Mike Conley is able to get that opportunity. But as of right now, two members of the Jazz on the All-Star team. They will have media availability throughout the day today, so you'll hear from them coming up. Also, a good friend of ours, George Niang, will join us coming up a little bit later on the program. What do you think, Lloyd, 11 o'clock hour sometime?
That's what I'm thinking. Sometime between 11 and noon is what I've been told. Shoot around. It'll be after shoot around, essentially.
And again, you know, we'd love to give you an exact time, but... You know, a shoot around, and you never know when those are exactly going to end. So
you should be listening anyways.
Just hang in there. Just listen. You should be with us for all 4 hours anyway.
It always frustrates me when we have to reiterate that we ask for 4 hours a day. There's 24 hours in the day. You've got 20 hours to do what you want to do.
We're asking for essentially what? A sixth of your day.
One sixth of your day. It's like
you guys are much more demanding of us than we are of you.
People get all upset about it. Like, I don't have 4 hours to sit around and listen to you guys make fun of each other. It's like, yes, you do.
Yeah, you do, and you'll like it.
And that's all we're asking from you.
We're not even making fun of you. We're making fun of ourselves.
So
it's mostly Lloyd and Hans making fun of me.
Sit back and...
Okay.
It's not true. Sit back, take a chill pill, and enjoy... Some good sports information.
Some hot sports takes. You know, I do find it interesting, and I love our listeners that because of whatever reason can't listen live. And like at 10 o'clock at night, I'll get, you know, we'll get tweets from people like, oh, I just heard that. I'm like, oh, that happened like 6 hours ago.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's awesome that people, you know, with the podcast and stuff will listen whenever they can, and we certainly appreciate that.
I'm so excited that we have Gorgeous Georges.
Gorgeous Georges.
Because
have you called him that?
Yeah. I'm so excited because that guy, he is playing lights out. And when he's clicking off the bench, records get set. I'm also pushing for him to be an All-Star starter.
I'm with you.
Maybe he gets the alternate.
Yeah.
He can make the NBA first team.
Gorgeous Georges.
I love that guy. Excited to talk to him.
Yep. That'll come up today sometime in the 11 o'clock hour. A busy show. Let's kick it off. It is time for your starting lineup.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it! On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's definitely an honor. You know, I think the biggest thing, it just equates to our team success. You know, if we, him and I make it, you know, I don't think that's what we kind of come into the season looking at. You know, I think, you know, for him and I especially, you know, just kind of go out there and doing anything, whatever it takes to win. For him, it's, you know, you look at how he played tonight, you know, not necessarily, you know, having a big game offensively, but, you know, he did a lot defensively. That's what he does. That's a staple. And then for me, just continue to make plays. And that's what we've been trying to do all year. And, you know, if it happens, you know, we're thankful and honored, but the end goal is still the end goal for us and the team. And then, you know, the biggest thing is, man, I'm praying Mike gets in, man. I think for a guy like him, who's done so many things for his career on, off the floor, he deserves this.
Well, that's, of course, talking about Mike Conley. And Mike Conley did not receive the All-Star nomination. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this. I think worst-case scenario was that we saw Chris Paul get the nomination and Devin Booker not get the nomination, because Devin Booker is averaging nearly 25 points a game. Devin Booker was an All-Star reserve, or sorry, no, not a reserve. He was an All-Star alternate, I believe, last year. Came in off an alternation, and has done great things. And obviously the Phoenix Suns are overachieving right now, or at least overachieving from what I expected them to do.
Yep.
And I think that Devin Booker is going to be looked at possibly for that alternate before Mike Conley. So that worries me a little bit with Mike Conley's ability to get the nomination to come in and be a part of this All-Star squad. But I'm kind of bummed about it. My gut tells me that he's not going to get it, but that doesn't mean he's not going to get it.
I do think that there is a certain level of Devin Booker is going to make a lot of All-Star games before it's all said and done. How many opportunities is Mike Conley going to have? So I think there might be some sentimentality there of just, hey, let's give it to Mike. It means the world to him. It would mean the world to a lot of people around the NBA. The Big Show talked to a guy out of Memphis last night that, you know, the whole city of Memphis desperately wants him to get one.
Sure.
You know, so he's such a good dude around the league. I think there's a lot of players around the league that want it to happen. And so, you know, hopefully it falls into place. But I'm with you. Just as is, I would be somewhat surprised if he gets it.
Yeah, me too. And having LeBron James come out and endorse Devin Booker as the biggest snub in the NBA, and talking about Booker's accomplishments, and I understand it to a large degree. I totally understand that Booker is a heck of a player and probably does deserve the nomination, but where you've got limited spots, there's always going to be an argument. There's always going to be a complaint for somebody. And if Booker gets that nomination in replacement for AD, then we'll all complain that Mike Conley should have gotten it. If Mike Conley gets it, we'll all complain that Booker probably should have gotten the nod, because he is an all-star on the court. There's no question about it. But I would like to see Mike Conley. I think everybody would, as you mentioned, his former team would. There's quite a bit of news about Mike Conley. The other piece of news, and you know, hearing it from his own mouth, hearing Mike Conley say that he loves the state of Utah, that he's found a really good home here, that he wants to be here. That gives me hope that Mike Conley will be around in the future.
How, though?
I guess.
The luxury tax, I mean, the Jazz are already over the tax.
I guess we would have to take a look and see what Mike Conley will demand on the market. What his numbers?
I mean, after this year, this dude's still worth $15 to $20 million a year.
Making 34 this year?
Yeah.
So $34 million this year. You believe he's still a $15 to $20 million guy?
Yep.
I've got to imagine that the Jazz are placing a pretty high amount of interest in what they could do with Mike.
Yeah.
Based off of what he's been able to do. I mean, look at the improvement on catch and shoot threes that he's made. I'm just thinking about this last game against Charlotte. I want to say he had two catch-and-shoot threes. At first, I thought, can Mike do a lot off the ball? I always felt like Mike had to have the ball in his hands. I thought that most of the things that Mike Conley did well were running off the pick and roll, keeping the ball in his hand, making good decisions, either a teardrop floater or delivering it down to Rudy or delivering it down to Favors. But I feel like Mike Conley's offensive abilities, you know, the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, Mike Conley's learning and growing and improving. I feel like this is one of the best years I've ever watched him play basketball.
So just to give you a landscape of what it looks like next year, Rudy Gobert goes from $25 million to $34 million next year. So that's an increase of $9 million. The one that really is going to beat everybody up is that this is a good thing and he's worth every penny. I'm not knocking it, but Donovan Mitchell is going to go from $5.1 million to $28 million next year. So that's an increase of $23 million. You add that,
that's
with the 9, that's 32. And guess what Mike Conley was making this year? 34. So if you take Mike Conley off the books, the Jazz next year are only up plus $2 million in salary, because that's what essentially Mike Conley was making, is the increase that you're going to see next year with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. And the Jazz already this year are over the luxury tax, and you worry about them being in the repeater tax issues. And so Mike Conley is going to be out there and said Mike wants to stay in Utah, and the Jazz would love him to stay in Utah, but, you know, how much are you going to be willing? Now, granted, he's 34 years old. Let's say you go $30 million. That puts you way over the luxury tax. Now, granted, our good friend Gorgeous Georges is going to come off the books at 1.7, but George is young. You want to keep him around, right?
It's young and affordable.
Exactly. And so you're able to wipe off a few. You know, Shaquille Harrison is making 1.5. He'll come off the books. Juwan Morgan at 1.5. But you still have to fill out a roster. Joe Ingles, by the way, Joe Ingles' salary goes up $2 million next year. So there you go. Between the increases of Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, and Donovan Mitchell, you're even with Conley coming off the books.
Contract.
Yeah.
Well, you've got the sample size of 5 games that Mike Conley was off the court and Joe Ingles was your starter, and you went 5-0. And, you know, the Jazz production stayed steady, but all of us knew that at some point you're going to face a more difficult task and you're going to need Mike Conley.
Yeah.
You need the depth of Mike Conley, I think, to make a good postseason push. I hope they can figure it out. My guess is, Scotty, if they make a solid run to the Western Conference Finals and show that they're a true contender and Mike Conley is at the top of that contending pile, I wouldn't put it past Jazz new owner Ryan Smith to say, okay, well, what's our interest here? How worth it is it? Okay, I understand the luxury, and I get compounders. Luxury compounders are brutal. You know, compounding in the luxury tax can hurt you pretty quick. And even the most wealthy will stop and look and say, like, oh, geez, man. Now we're looking at $20, $30 million, $40 million check that we're writing, that we're giving to the other teams in the NBA. They're taking advantage of that. But couldn't you see a new owner of an NBA team if you're right there on the cusp of it and Mike Conley was a big part of it and you feel like, you know, you've already got your big names locked up, but you need to keep Mike on the roster? He's already shown that he's willing to be in the tax.
Yeah, but even the repeater tax makes guys like Mark Cuban a little wince, you know, wince a little.
That's what
bit.
I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just think that if they're a contender with them.
It's always really tough, too, because I remember, I think I was filling in for Locke once on one of the Larry H. Miller interviews, and I remember asking Larry about, you know, what's it like when people are out there, you know, talking about spending your money? And he said, you know what, the way I look at it, they're just numbers on a sheet. That's the way I just have to look at it. I can't look at it as that is money that's going to somebody. I just have to look at the salaries and just treat them as numbers on a spreadsheet. And are those numbers on a spreadsheet helping me win games? If so, let's keep those numbers on the spreadsheet. Yeah. If not, let's not. And you have to kind of distance yourself because, you know, you go back and you know, the whole Gordon Hayward contract, you know, that so many people were upset about back in the day. And then, you know, you go there, you know, there's always somebody, Dante Exum, remember how people were upset about that contract at times. And it just, at some point you have to realize it's just numbers on a sheet. And are those numbers helping you win, or are they helping you lose, or are they making you lose?
How important
you gotta adjust there.
How important is Mike Conley to the current run of success that the Jazz are on?
I think it's very, very important. I think he and you can say, well, they won a bunch of games when he was off the court. Yes, but if you're going to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series, Mike Conley's got to be out there. If you're going to beat the Clippers, and I know they lost with Mike Conley on the court to the Clippers.
Yeah, but back.
But you need him back on the court, playing well against the Clippers in a 7-game series.
Yeah, you do. You do, because you have to be able to have that rotation with Joe and Mike.
Yep.
I'm impressed with how far Mike has come. I mean, and I'm not saying that he had a lot that he needed to improve on. I'm not even saying that I know exactly how much he's improved. But, Scotty, I do have a sample size of Mike Conley year one with the Utah Jazz. Mike Conley, even when he was with Memphis, I actually watched Memphis a little bit. I got to see Memphis a little bit.
By the way, I just texted somebody in around the NBA and asked him what the contract for Conley was, and it felt good because I said 15 to 20. Said yeah, somewhere between 15 and 20 million. Somebody's going to give him that.
Jazz can't pay him that.
No, Jazz cannot pay him that. And I mean, let's be honest here. You love your situation. You love where you're at, and you love the organization. Are you willing to take – I don't even know if the Jazz can afford $10 million a year. But let's just say the Jazz offer him 10. I mean, if you're Mike Conley, you're like, I got this team offering me $18 million and a 3-year contract at 18 per, or I got the Jazz offering me 3 at 10. That's a pretty big difference.
He's in year 14 right now, right?
Yeah.
Found a home, some comfort. His comments about wanting to be a member of the Utah Jazz were, I think, it carried a lot of weight from his heart. I just don't think you can – I don't think you can compete with it out there.
Yeah.
I do wonder, though, if Mike Conley sees this as a chance to go get a ring. That's what I'm saying. If
you're ring chasing with the Jazz, what kind of a world are we living in now when you're chasing a ring and signing, re-signing with the Jazz?
Well, you know, you think about the stability that he would have to see. If they made it to the Western Conference Finals, let's say they made it to the finals, but let's say they made it to the Western Conference Finals and went to Game 7. Let's say the Lakers get bumped into that 4-5. You see the Lakers you see the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals or – you know, you have a good run. You've got some big wins. Maybe even make it to the finals. And Mike Conley is looking at this saying, all right, well, you've got Donovan Mitchell locked up for the next 5 years. You've got Rudy Gobert locked up for the next 5 years. You've got Joe Ingles isn't going anywhere. I don't think Joe would go anywhere if he could.
Yeah.
I know that Joe loves it here. You've got Quinn Snyder, who Quinn is only going to continue to improve as a coach. I do wonder if he would take into consideration the fact that this is a very stable team for a solid period of time.
You want to get heartless here for a moment?
Yeah.
Would you trade Joe to get him off your books at $12 million next year to be able to keep Mike Conley? Joe's got 1 year after this year at $12 million.
You shut your mouth.
That's what I'm saying. Can we be heartless here? These are the conversations that they may have to have.
Yeah. If you could keep Mike Conley. Because you figure they're both at that level of their career.
And again, I'm not condoning this. I'm not saying do this, do not do this. I'm just saying these are the conversations you may have to have. What about Derek Favors, who's got 8.7, or excuse me, is due 9.7 next year and 10.1 on a player option the year after.
The problem is we've seen this Jazz team, and I don't think Azubuike would be ready for that responsibility.
Doesn't seem that way.
No, we've seen this Jazz team without Favors on it. It's basically this roster without Favors. And, it wasn't as good as this roster with Favors. And yeah. I don't think Favors is the catalyst for that, but there is a real nice comfort level when he jumps out onto the court.
Yep.
No, wouldn't be okay with Favors.
I don't even feel comfortable bringing that up.
Even at that dollar.
I felt dirty even talking about that.
You're right, though. But these decisions have to be. There's going to be some tough talks.
Well, who's more important? Who's more crucial to the success of the Jazz, Joe Ingles or Mike Conley?
I would say Mike Conley.
That's what I would think. Even though when Joe stepped on the court to take the Mike Conley minutes when Mike was sidelined.
Well, you just said it. So Joe Ingles or D. Fave?
Joe Ingles.
I just remember what we saw last year with Bradley out on the court.
It's not good.
Yeah.
And again, I don't feel ready with Azubuike at all.
I feel like we need to take a shower after this conversation.
I get it, but the problem is that it comes back to Mike Conley.
Yep.
This state has fallen more in love with Mike Conley than they did with Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
And Ricky Rubio was a beloved member of this Jazz team. You remember here in this community. Here in this community.
This is one time Lloyd actually does want us to stop talking.
Ricky Rubio was the man.
Well, I think Joe Ingles and Derek Favors are in the hearts of every Jazz fan out there. And the day that some hard decision has to be made with either one of those guys is not going to be a particularly good situation.
Poll question, who would Jazz fans like to see stay?
You can keep one.
Joe Ingles or Mike Conley?
Or Derek Favors.
One of the three?
What? You get one.
Oh, I'm not putting that poll.
No, don't put that out there. That poll would not be fun. Hey, by the way, did you hear the fun montage yesterday?
I did. I did. I was laughing. Gordon's fun is pretty out. It's pretty enthusiastic.
They got me just one angry fun.
Yeah, he didn't like the fun, by the way. Gordon didn't like the fun montage.
He didn't like that?
No, I don't think he did. It wasn't amusing to him.
Kyle tweets in, the Jazz could never trade Joe. Never, in all caps.
Weigh in at 975 Hans at Scotty G Zone. Weigh in. I'm not going to put the poll question out there, but you're listening out there. You got a Twitter account. Scotty and I got the Twitter. We've got the Twitter machine up and rocking. Tweet at us at 975 Hans at Scotty G Zone. How would you manage this roster?
Yeah.
If you were in charge of it.
Hans and Scotty here on 975 1280 The Zone. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. Beautiful vehicles. You got the Armada. You got a beautiful Pathfinder right next to us. I believe this is a Sentra right here to our left. You've got a Murano down the road as well. All these vehicles come with a forever warranty, which means you can drive that vehicle for as long as you want and it's covered.
Do you realize you just named every vehicle in here without seeing the name of it?
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
You're a Nissan fan. Scotty, all the cars are facing us.
So
you can't see the names of them, and he just went through them all.
Rogue, Sentra. Pathfinder, and I believe that's an Altima on the other side. I can barely see it, but I'm pretty sure that's an Altima.
So this is Sentra, and that's a hatchback?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think we've got ourselves a Nissan fan.
Let's go. Come down here. Great vehicles. I've owned Nissans forever. You can come down and own one as well.
They really are a nice car.
Yeah. Are you driving Altima?
Yes. Man? They really are a nice car. The Nissan gives you very little problems, gets around in the snow well. Very, very durable, very strong car. Good on gas mileage. It's a great car.
Twitter's not happy with us. Jeremy tweets in, do you guys kiss your mothers with those mouths of yours?
Don't pull me into this, Jeremy. That was Scotty. I'm just a bystander.
This feels like the beginning of that situation when I said Gary Anderson was going to get fired at Oregon State. Yeah.
5 minutes before we went on with Gary. I remember you looking at me like, So we've got Gary coming up? Because I think I was in L.A. at Pac-12 Media Day.
No.
Was that how it went? I can't remember.
No, but it got back to him, and then he did bring up that during our conversation at Pac-12 Media. Because I was there, and I had to stare at him while he was looking at me like, oh, really, you think I'm getting fired here? That's
first
great.
One fired, huh?
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
People who really know basketball thought Mike Conley would make the adjustment quicker than ordinary, but it actually could have worked in the exact opposite way, where he was so entrenched in what he'd been doing. Then he comes to the Jazz, and he's playing with different players, and Quinn wants him to play a little differently, and he's got to adjust to all that.
I always thought he was going to have to fit in with Donovan and Rudy. I think I underestimated how difficult that transition was going to be for him, but what I think it does say is how coachable Mike Conley is. It'd be easy to say, I'm Mike W. Conley. Thank you very much. Sit down and pay attention. You might just learn something. You know, that wasn't his take all along.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty. By the way, how about that? You're not off base. I put Jolly Ranchers in it.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just apologize for the conversation that may have happened near the end of last segment because I'm looking at Twitter.
No apologies needed.
Just saying, there could be some hard conversations having to be made here.
Just know that Hans and I were not a part of this.
I'd like to remove myself from the beginning of this show.
We should restart the show, I feel like.
I think we would all enjoy being an NBA GM until you have to have those conversations. And then you don't want to have those, and you don't want to be an NBA GM anymore.
Who's the most difficult Jazz player to watch go? Was it Paul Millsap?
That's a great question.
Paul Millsap was a rough one. People hated seeing
Jazz
Derek
fans
Favors
had a hard time with that one. I think it was Derek Favors, honestly, 2 years ago.
It was hard to watch Derek Favors go. People loved Jay Crowder.
They did. Who was the other guy they really liked?
Gordon Gierchek.
No. I don't think anybody was too brokenhearted about that one.
No, not so
Who was the guy that ate all the cereal? I kept talking about eating cereal all the time.
Oh, eating.
Yeah, people like Booker, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep, love Trevor Book, T-Book. They loved Booker. People liked Earl Watson. What happened?
I loved Earl.
What happened to Earl?
Well, Earl was the coach of the Suns there for a while.
Was Earl traded out of the organization?
I don't remember how that ended.
I don't remember how that ended. Most difficult Jazz player to see go. Give us your thoughts at 975 Hans at Scotty G Zone. The problem is things change, man. It's professional sports. These athletes know it. They may not want to talk about it, but that's why it's not their job to talk about it. It's our job to talk about it and speculate on it. But
I think Earl was a free agent. He signed with the Portland Trailblazers on July 10, 2013.
Of course it was the Trailblazers. Trailblazers take everybody that the Jazz love. Hey, Scotty, honestly, the question is valid, though. You know, this all came up because of the conversation of what Mike Conley makes, what his contract currently is,
yep,
what his contract will demand coming up. You believe, but somewhere a 3-year around 15 to 20 million?
That's what I would think, yeah.
Well, he's worth that.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, how old is he? 34? Around there? Let me pull up his age.
I think he is 34, maybe 35.
33. He'll turn 34 in October. So next time, when the next season rolls around, you could easily get give him a 3-year contract.
Very good years.
Yep.
3 very good years left with Mike. How old is Joe Ingles? Joe is 33, isn't he?
That's a really good question.
About the same age, I thought.
Joe is 33. In fact, he's only he's about 8 days older than Mike Conley.
So, Yeah, we need to move on because all we're doing is starting to dig that pull that scab off.
For what it's worth, Derek Favors, I think, is still 29.
Yeah, Favors is still young, isn't he?
Yeah.
But obviously, this Utah Jazz team—they've got a big task in front of them coming up tonight against the Lakers. Scotty, the Lakers are going to be without Dennis Schroeder. They're going to be without Anthony Davis. But it doesn't really matter because when you got LeBron James on the court, and if he is a motivated LeBron James, then you've got yourself a big fight. And I still think that the Lakers are going to look at this Jazz game like the Clippers looked at it, but maybe even slightly more different because this is the first time that the Lakers get to face the Jazz this season.
Yes.
So if I'm LeBron James and I'm the remaining starting five – without Dennis Schroeder, without Anthony Davis, we're all looking at each other like, well, we've got to set the tone. We got to let them know that it's going to be a long, long day, a long week, or a long couple weeks for them if we face up against them. And I think that the Lakers are going to want to make a statement. Here we are 31 or 32 games into the season, a 72-game season, not even an 82-game season. So you're well into halfway of the season or very close to halfway of the season, and you're going to want to make a statement. So I expect the Lakers and their remaining starting five to come out and be a real problem tonight. I know everybody's looking at like, oh, without Anthony Davis and without Dennis Schroeder, they ain't got a chance.
No, as long as LeBron's there, they got every bit of a chance to win this game.
As long as LeBron's on the court, they've got every bit of a chance.
I really want to see this. In fact, I want to see this W more than I wanted to see the Clippers W. Like, I want to see this team beat the Lakers.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also want to point this out, you know, where you're missing Anthony Davis and missing Dennis Schroeder. I think that the Lakers may be questioning themselves just a bit because they're 1-4 in the last five. They're on a three-game losing streak. You know, they just lost to the Wizards. They lost to the Heat. They had that loss to the Nets on primetime. And they're on a three-game losing streak, and they're probably looking at themselves like, well, what do we got in our tank, boys?
Yeah.
If at any point we're without Anthony Davis, what do we got in our tank? Well, tonight is a night to really test that.
Yeah.
The best in the NBA. The best record in the NBA. Let's go see what we can do against them. And by the way, if we don't match that, well, we just saw what the Clippers did. So we're not going to be able to match the Clippers if we don't have a full roster. So I'm expecting, if I'm Donovan Mitchell, if I'm Rudy Gobert, if I'm Royce O'Neal, who I'm sure Royce is going to draw the short stick quite a bit tonight, having to stand in front of LeBron James. When you say that, that's kind of probably who stands in front of LeBron most.
I would agree with that.
Most of the night.
Yep.
I'm saying to myself, guys, we have a cornered dog. We've got a cornered dog coming in to the arena tonight.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. Love for you to come by. Hang out with us right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in Jovan Buha, the Lakers beat writer for The Athletic.
From the Laker perspective, which team concerns you more, the Clippers or the Jazz?
Right now it's the Jazz with how they're playing. Some people have defaulted to, well, every year there's a regular season team that breaks out. It's not legit. But I think with the sample size that we're seeing now, I can't discount that. I've personally been a big Utah guy over the last couple of years. Like, I felt that they were the third best team in the West each of the last two seasons. I buy this. I think they're really, really good. I think this shows what happens when you keep a core together and just add some pieces around the fringes, and this team is very dangerous.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Ah!
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your day. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed.
I love what we get to do, man.
I do too.
I love being out and about and meeting beautiful people. Scotty, what you may have missed, I was listening to residents of the area that Tiger Woods wrecked his vehicle in.
Yeah.
Talk about that road and that area. Have you heard all the different residents?
There was a guy that was on Fox Sports last night, one of the hosts, and I was running some errands late at night. And not late at night, but last minute run to the, you know, the old grocery store. And a guy was saying, like, hey, I live in that area. I drive that road all the time, and it happens all the time.
Yeah. I guess it's a terrible piece of road that actually has a runaway vehicle ramp that we see those in Idaho all the time. You know, typically they're for diesels, bigger trucks that lose their brakes.
Brakes go out, yeah.
And it's just a gravel pit road that goes kind of up a hill to slow a vehicle down. This area, this road actually has that. And I was listening to these different residents talk about it, and they weren't surprised at all. They were like, yeah, this happened. So I know that speculation goes crazy, but I think all of us just need to take a step back, wait for the evidence to come out, and I think all of us just need to hope that Tiger Woods can recover from this surgery. The details of the surgery were horrifying. You're talking about multiple fractures in his right leg that required pins and rods, as well as in his ankle and foot in his right leg. I have not heard anything about his left leg. But yesterday, you remember, the original report was both legs suffered severe damage. All we've heard about is the injuries and the fix in his right leg. So I'm hoping that he's going to be able to recover through the surgery. It's nice that he's awake and he's in recovery, awake, and he's with friends and family. That's nice to hear, but horrible to think of the damage that was done to his right leg.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of conversation's been about the bone, but there was so much trauma to the muscle and the soft tissue of the leg that they had to essentially go in and release the covering of those muscles to relieve the pressure due to the swelling.
So they had to let the muscle kind of expand.
Yeah.
Which means you got to cut open the leg, and it's probably already pretty damaged because it was a compound fractures.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really difficult for all of us. I think that the question is just going to rest. There's one question that's on everybody's mind, and it won't rest until it's eventually answered, and that is, will he ever play at a competitive level ever again? That is a question that was on my mind the second that I heard he was in the hospital, but he was alive, which I was grateful for, because that's the very first question is he alive or dead? And the second thing that popped in my head was, will he ever play competitive golf again? Because the game is not as good without him. And as far as sitting back on a weekend, yeah, football's probably king. But, man, I love sitting back and watching some tour golf. And who do I always watch? Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I think the number one priority is certainly getting him healthy. I mean, frankly, I think right now his number one priority is getting back to be able to walk with some of these injuries. And then you go from there. The fact that he's 45 might have a big part to do with his ability to get back out on the course in a competitive fashion. I mean, if he was 25, it might be a little bit different. But at 45, already on kind of the downswing of his career.
Yeah, we don't even know what other damage was done. We know that his back is a wreck and that he just had surgery on his back. So I don't know if it re-aggravated or damaged anything in his back. But I guess I'm keeping my fingers crossed for a full recovery. I do want to see him golf again at a high level. I do. I mean, I wouldn't be being honest if I didn't say I want to see him back out on a course, because the game's just not as fun. It's not as good. It's not as watchable without him.
I'm not really interested in watching more golf with Brooks Koepka.
What about the Beef Hammer?
Beef Hammer's entertaining.
Yeah, the Beef Hammer. Beef Hammer's bringing. He's bringing some eyeballs.
Yeah. Koepka doesn't move the meter that much for me.
At all. Justin Rose doesn't move the meter. Jason Day and his vertigo doesn't move the meter.
Maybe if he's – no, never mind. Now you guys have me all second-guessing myself. Because I've got dumped like three times from Lloyd over the last like 2 days on stuff that doesn't need to be dumped. And now I – all right, never mind.
The world we live in.
He's in my head.
It is the world we live in, man. Never know.
No, I do know.
Better safe than sorry. I think yesterday was a good thing. It was a very
I don't
good
think
thing.
That was a good thing. I think you guys misinterpreted what I was saying.
I think what you wished on Lloyd and I was not a good thing. But I do think Lloyd dumping you yesterday was a good thing.
Yeah, it was for the best.
All right, 10:58. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. George Nying will join us sometime in the 11 o'clock hour. You're going to hear from Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And you'll also hear from we'll continue on getting you ready for college basketball coming up. Some great games coming up this weekend. Also, Bill Orem will join us coming up a little bit later on. It's all straight ahead right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.